very, very, very special guest with me tonight. My dear friend in this work and my dear friend outside of the work of education, and that is Miss Carletta Lee. She is a social worker and has been in education for many years in multiple different roles, right? So she's kind of like me in the sense of we can speak from different lenses, not just in one role, right? And so I know that people have a lot of questions around social workers, and contingent upon what your experience has been with social workers, it's either like, oh, I love them, or oh my goodness, they tear my family up, right? But whatever it is, I want to be able, we want to be able to just have a real dialogue tonight. Any questions you have, please feel free to drop them in the chat for Miss Lee. She, let me tell you something. You want to know someone who is real, yet humble and sweet? That is her. But she is going to keep it real with you. And so I'm excited to have you with us this evening.
I appreciate that, Dr. Shepherd.
Thank you. All right, we're going to jump in, guys. So, Miss Lee, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
So, my name is Miss Lee. I'm originally from Ansonia, Connecticut.
Okay.
I moved to Charlotte in 2005, and I've been in education for 17 plus years. I am a grandmother, and I'm a mother and a grandmother, and an educator. Now I am a social worker.
Yes. See, I told y'all she's been in the game a minute, just like me, right? All righty. So let's jump right on in. Tell the audience like a typical day for you as a social worker. You don't have to give us all the details, but just some of the stuff you do from day to day.
So a typical day for me is coming in at 6:30 in the morning, making it to work probably like 6:45. I go in, I get into my office. Before I do anything, I read my daily bray because that is what I need for the day to get my day started.
Yes.
And after that, I would turn on my computer and I'll check my email. And usually I'll have about anywhere from 10 to 20 emails. So I chunk them step by step. And then knocks start happening at my door. That's when my babies are coming to the door and they need me usually about 20 to 30 minutes after I come in. So I deal with my babies and give them what they need, send them back to class, and then I go into my classrooms to observe 7th and 8th graders and just make sure everyone is okay in class.
I love that. Love that. Did you hear her? She said her babies, right? So that means like there is personal relationship there. There are relationships that she has built with the scholars, with the families. And so, and as I say, like when I call the scholars babies, right? Because the love for them is real. And let me tell you something. She is not lying when she says she gets there very early and she does what she needs to do to make sure she's present for scholars. And so like, I value that about you so very much, Miss Lee.
Because when I'm late, I'm early.
That's right. I love it. Y'all young people hear that. Some old people too, but definitely you young folks. Okay. All right. So what are the most like rewarding aspects of your job? Like what gives you like joy in your job?
So what gives me joy is that when families come in with crises and students come in with traumatic events, it's just that I can give them the tools to process what they need to get their day started or what they need to next steps to have better life, things in their life going straight for them. My joy is just that when they leave me, they come in distraught, or when they leave me, they're at least a little better and just making, you know, the things that I give them, the tools that I give them, the resources that I give them helps them do what they need to do to grow in their life.
Yes, I love that. She gives them what they need. I hope you guys are listening because that's like a recurring theme, right? As she's been speaking, you know, happy to see them. They're happy to connect with her. She checks in on them. She then provides them with whatever they need. Why? So they can go back to class and learn. Yes. If one thing that we've learned from being in this game for a long time, and I think it's something that everyone knows, but we kind of forget, kids cannot and will not show up to do any type of work when they are struggling or they have needs that are not being met. We have to meet the needs of our kids. We have to tap into our kids. We have to ask questions. We have to greet them. You should know your kids well enough to know that if your child or a student isn't speaking or has gotten quiet or seems to be a lot more moodier, something's going on, right? And you tap in to find out, hey, baby, I'm noticing you've been looking down. What's going on, right? But because she knows her kids, because she observes them in classes, because they can trust her, right? Because that means she's kept her word, then, hey, she's able to meet their needs and get babies back in the classroom, which is where they need to be to ultimately get out the situations that they find themselves in, all right? So how do you build rapport and trust with the students and the families? Because that's kind of got to be a little tough sometimes.
Just like communication, active listening to our families, active listening to our babies, just check-ins. Check-ins is the most important thing. Checking in on families. What do you need? Do you need food? Do you need resources? Do you need housing? Check with the kids, students, our babies. Do you need a pencil? Do you need a notebook? Do you need a book bag? Do you need a coat? Do you need clothes? And those little things will get a baby started, will get a family started when they need to know that someone is there to support them. Someone is there for them. They could just go and call. I'm open. They could call me at night. They can call me when they need me. My babies can call me. The parents can call me. And that's the relationship that I want to build for them to be okay with coming to me with anything that they need. And if I can do it, I will try my best to get them what they need to be successful.
She not lying, right? So the way our school is placed currently, they're a shopping center. Kids need anything, let me tell you, hey, I'll be right back. I need to run up here to such and such to get a shirt or shoes or whatever it is that they need. She comes in where she was spending her own money making like little snack bags for kids, but not only for kids, but for staff too. Finding and thinking of ways to pour into staff. She'll come to me and say, hey, look, Shep, now she can call me Shep because we had that relationship, right? But she can come in and say, hey, Shep, morale, like I think some things are off. So here's an idea that I have, right? And because I know her heart, because I know that like she is another pair of eyes for me, because as a principal, I don't see it all, right? And none of us are perfect. And so she is invaluable. I love having you on the team because you bring another different perspective sometimes. And we're going to get into that a little bit later because we do kind of get into it a little bit just based on our roles, and we see things very differently. But she definitely works to make sure that kids have what they need, whether they see her or not, meaning they might not even be on her caseload. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, hey, Miss Lee, can I have this? Hey, Miss Lee, can I do? But and she does. And so that is a beautiful, beautiful thing to see with social workers. All right. So you just talked about, those how you build the rapport and have the trust. But what are your biggest challenges that you face in this work? Because it's also another side to social work that can kind of get a little bit,
when I first became a social worker, I did not believe that so many systems were broken. And so many families were homeless, and so many kids don't eat only when they come to school.
Right.
And that kind of bothered me. I used to be like this sensitive thug.
Right.
sensitive. But when I became a social worker, when everything just like came at me, I had to become empathetic and show empathy, because if not, the stories I hear, the trauma I hear, I would be crying like every single day. And it's tough to see, and it's tough to have that experience of knowing that our black and brown kids are just not eating, or families have to sleep in their cars or sleep in hotels because they don't have enough money or don't have a job. So the challenges for me is just seeing that and knowing that I can be that person that could support these families, at least with food, resources for getting housing, how to step and get, food stamps, or go get clothing from different partnerships that I connect with.
I love that. And thank you for sharing that, Miss Lee, because I think sometimes we do forget. I can definitely say it from the seat as a principal, especially if a child is acting out and they're making some different decisions. Mm-hmm. I love the perspective when you come in and you're like, hey, Shep, can we just talk? And you kind of provide a little insight of what's happening in the family mm-hmm. that makes me think like, oh, that makes sense. Yes. And, you know, I kind of changed. And then there's some things that's too egregious. I have to take action. But because of our communication mm-hmm. and what you are able to share, it does make it a little bit more lenient. Because mm-hmm. again, at the end of the day, whether elementary, middle or mm-hmm. high, they're still babies.
Yes.
They are still babies. They still aren't able to fend for themselves. And as stated earlier, like when you're going through, we know adults, when you go through, mm-hmm. you just close off to the world. You don't want to do anything. Right. And so, thank you for sharing that, because I know it has to be hard when you see as much trauma as you see on a day-to-day basis. And guys, I want to preface this, as I always do, because we have been in education for 17 and a half years and 18 years for myself. We are not talking about our current schools, okay? We are talking about what we have seen over the years. And that's all, you know, as you know, a principal's desk, a note from the principal's desk was started out of frustration. I just wanted parents to wake up, right? And so that is like this conversation here today, of the importance of, like, we hear social workers with like a negative connotation, right? Contingent upon your experiences. But let me tell you, it is a hard job. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. And we're not always happy being moms with some of the decisions that have to be made. But again, I value you for always pushing, like, hey, Shep, I know you got to do what you got to do, but please look at it from this perspective as well. All right. So with that, because that is a lot of things that over the years you've had a chance to see and experience. How do you manage like that emotional impact of like working with clients who are in distress or who in crisis? Because I know that's got to be hard.
Self-care. Self-care. I travel a lot. And it's just not that. And every time I travel, I always miss my babies to come back. Right? You got to take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself first, you are going to be no good to families. You're going to be no good to community. You're going to be no good for our babies. You have to take care of yourself. And once you take care of yourself, then you could go ahead and take care of the families, take care of the community, take care of your babies. So the biggest thing for me is just self-care for yourself so you can apply anything else to families or what they need.
Yeah, she big on that self-care. Because I've been looking at some of the PTO requests like, ma'am, we cannot be back out the country. Like, we got a lot to do. But that is so true. And I think regardless of your role, especially if your role is service, if your role is in support of others, right, you have to take care of yourself. Yes. Because you aren't any good if you don't take care of yourself. And especially if you're working with children, they need a whole and complete you, mm-hmm. not any mess. Yes. And when you come into work with all your mess, all you're doing is putting it on the babies who are already shouldering a lot, right? Yes. And so I thank you for sharing that. And she always says a little reminder, self-care, here's a trip. Like, I start getting little memes. I'm like, okay, let's look at some stuff. So definitely appreciate you. And so does the audience. Like, the chat has been lighting up quite a bit. And so thank you guys for always, always supporting A Note from the Principal's Desk the way that you do. Now, I want to pivot a little bit. And this topic is a little controversial, because when people hear truancy, automatically people are assuming the school is trying to put the parent in jail and take the kids away from them. And so we're going to pivot into really just talking about truancy and like the role of like educators, social workers, administrators, when it comes to truancy and what it's intended for. It's not intended the way that people take it. And so we're going to clear that up. You ready to dive into that topic?
Yes, 'cause,
okay.
I am ready.
So like, what is truancy? Just a little brief definition.
So truancy is just absences of children into the school system, and they don't have an excuse, like from a caregiver, or we don't know where children are, and we always need to know where our babies are. And it comes to the point of truancy jumps in when we don't know where our kids are. It's basically just when the student is not at school and you don't have a doctor's note, we don't have a note from you, and the student is just out there living their best life.
Yeah. Guys, I know, and because like I said, many years, even as a classroom teacher, I could remember having babies who I would see maybe the second week of school. I wouldn't see those babies again till like December, right? And so there is a concern there. You should care if you are in education about the students who are in your care. And so truancy is not a I got you to parents, but really just like, we need to know this baby is okay. Let's be real, y'all. Look at the world we're living in. There are some real mental health issues, and there are people who have harmed their children. There are people who have unalived their children, right? And if there's no systems or structures in place to check on babies, how many more of those things could actually happen, right? Yes. And so it's really like a checks and balances system for the schools, just to make sure that, like, hey, somebody has eyes on this child, or that they know what is going on with the child. Not so much as a I got you, or I'm trying to bring a family down, because, you know, life is life, and y'all, yes, and life is happening and has happened. And if it hasn't, it will happen, right, to us all. And so we get that sometimes, like, just contingent upon things happening, you may react a little differently, right? I know as a single mom, and having, like, being a CEO and also, you know, being a principal, that sometimes I'm a little overwhelmed. And so I may act a little out of character, and that happens to us all. So it's not a I got you as a parent, you're an awful parent, but it is a checks and balances system so that we can make sure babies are good. They didn't ask to be here, y'all. And so we have to take care of God's most precious gifts, okay? Yes. Thank you for Miss Lee. So here we go. When we do have to go through truancy, what are some of the side effects you've noticed as a social worker?
Declining academics, school dropout, kids becoming getting into the system of getting into trouble, anxiety, depression. We have a lot of that going on with our babies from the years of me having experience with this. Cutting, don't know how to talk to their parents. So it's really to the point of our babies need to be at school, especially today.
Yes, absolutely. Guys, we're living in different times. Yes. And a lot of the resources and stuff that were available back in the day, really, truth be told, contingent upon where you're at, if you're working in Title I schools or economically disadvantaged schools, or the population is majority, you know, Black and brown, we already know that is already like a disadvantage in itself, right? And so when you don't have a social worker, when you don't have counselors or administrators or teachers who like raise that red flag, who like, hey, look, something's going on with this baby used to wear short sleeves all the time, now all of a sudden everything is a hoodie or want to be, they're hiding, right? A lot of times, quickly, we're able to discover some serious things that are happening, because children, our babies, are trying to cope and hold and shoulder so much that they can't, right? They need to be in school. They need to see school as a way out. And although it's uncomfortable now, guess what, baby? If you keep doing what you're supposed to do, if you keep showing up, one day you're going to look back at all of this and be like, wow, I can't even believe that was my life, because you would have created something better. But you have to have this, y'all. We have to, I'm pivoting for a second.
Yes, you're fine.
I'm going to talk to the parents yet again. Playtime, recess, all that stuff is fun, right? It's cute, you know, but you know what time we in, right? And so this right here, especially if you looking like this, is that it has to be maintained. It has to get what it needs to get in order to really, really be set up for success in this world. Okay. And so Thank you for that, Miss Lee. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not sorry. I had to put that in there because, again, you know, I'm always going to talk to the parents and keep it real about some things. But you're right. Those, man, we've seen some stuff over the years, man. We have.
Disservice for our babies.
We have. So, you know, we're based in North Carolina. And so I always encourage everyone to just find out like the laws of like your school, your state, your cities, counties, and different things. But like, talk about like, what does that truancy work look like in North Carolina?
So North Carolina truancy looks like you cannot miss more than 6 days unexcused. And they're really pushing it because parents, kids, it's going beyond the 6 days. Once you get the 6 days absence and we don't know where your baby is, we don't know, we contact you by phone, email, we don't know anything, what your baby was in a certified letter. That means once we send the certified letter, you have to come into a meeting to state where your baby was. If not, we will report it to truancy and then we'll get the ball rolling and to get you in court.
Okay. You hear that, like that process. Now, she says 6 days absence without like any type of notification. Right. I don't want to confuse people when I did like kids get like a little 10-day PTO for the year. Okay.
Yes, for the year.
That's sporadic. That's throughout. That's not like bam, 10 days straight back to back because they do come looking. Okay. But 6 days, no contact. That's a concern. That is a red flag. And we also, I know I'm not the only principal. I've, like I said, been in multiple schools where the encouragement is actually there for teachers to start calling. Also, hey, you know, such and such was out today. Just wanted to check in and make sure they're good. See if you guys need anything, right? So 6 days, and then you're going to get a letter. And no response to that letter or you don't come in.
We start the process.
They start the process, okay? How do we avoid the process? Just communicate what's going on. Mm-hmm. Communicate. Remember, I've been speaking throughout for almost over a year doing this podcast now. Communication and partnership with the schools and families, it has to happen. There is not one without the other. And if we want success, if you want your child successful, and if you have nothing to hide, then it shouldn't ever be a problem with you just calling the teacher, the front office, Miss Lee, other social workers, counselors, saying, hey, such and such, you know, Octavia isn't feeling well, and, you know, she's going to be out the next couple of days. Okay, no problem. Let us know if you need anything, right? But after those few days, and it's still a little like, wait a minute, something's going on. Then, hey, that's why relationships with kids are important, too, because kids tell it. Mm-hmm. Some speak loud, some speak soft, but actions say all you need to know. Mm-hmm. OK, so if you're in education, remember that. All right. So what are some of the problems, though, that you see with truancy, Miss Lee?
So some of the problems is low self-esteem, loneliness with our babies, decline in school performance. That's one of the biggest ones when they're not in school. And I want to, I think I'm just going to go a little bit far. It's like when I was saying that our babies need to be in school today, it's not like back in the day where when I came up or even when Dr. Shepherd came up. Today, this is our future. And if our babies are not learning, they will not know how to run this world. So if they're home, the way social media is today, the way everyone one that says how our black and brown kids are like not worth things, they want to put us in all these different categories, and it's not right. But we as a brown and black community need our babies in school today. It's really hard. Our kids are depressed. Our kids are lonely. Our kids feel like they don't have a voice. I know back in the day, we couldn't really talk, not really being disrespectful, but I really believe today, if your baby is saying they need to go to school and you're saying, oh, I'm running late, you have to listen to them. Listen to your babies. Let them open up and tell you how they're feeling about different situations or why they don't want to go to school. Why they don't want to go to school. There's a reason. Maybe they're getting bullied. We don't know. Maybe there's something they want to talk about with you. We don't know. But if you're not giving them that outlet, at least listen to what they're saying. And then we'll take it from there.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. All right. So break it down for us. Like, what happens the first time you go to court for truancy?
okay, the first time you go to court for truancy, they ask you, why weren't your baby in school? And then if you don't have anything to say, they'll give you another court date. And then sometimes they give parents parenting classes. If that doesn't work, if it happens a couple of times, you can't face jail time if you do not comply with the laws of what the judge is telling you to do with your baby.
Absolutely. Guys, just come, just that. That's why you get them there. I look at truancy, I heard what Miss Lee said, as it can become an inconvenience, yes. Right? If you're already struggling to get your babies to school, if you're already struggling to get them to school on time, different things like that, right? Why add another layer to now not only is it school, but now it's also court, because, again, the school's best interest is for the kids. We have to make sure the kids are good, right? And so I encourage parents, like, and speak up and be honest. Hey, y'all, I lost my job. And so we're struggling here and there. Guess what? Social workers can get transportation, right? Hey, this and this happened with us. We lost our home, or, you know, whatever may have happened. They can provide different resources that help. We just want to help. Hear what I'm saying. It's all about helping, not a I got you. But you have to communicate about what is going on with your baby, okay? Mm-hmm. So I do have to ask this. So when it gets to the place of truancy, is that really considered neglect? From the school's perspective.
From the school's perspective, I think it's neglect. Mm. I get it. I'm a mom. I've raised one of my granddaughters, and I had to shift some stuff, right? Mm. So the most important thing is getting your baby to school. If I have worked in trying to raise my granddaughter and trying to get her to school, I just had to find a way of getting some more support, pulling in her mother, pulling in her dad, even though she solely lived with me. You just got to do some shifts. You got to sacrifice things to make sure your baby is in school and doing better than what you're doing today in life. You want to make sure they can grow. And when you leave or whatever, you know that my baby's going to be safe. So I just feel like we just need to make some sacrifices. Regardless of what the sacrifice is, and your baby's gonna appreciate you for making sacrifices for them to be better than what you are.
Absolutely, I love that, Miss Lee, and I'm glad that you said it and even tied it in to being a mom. I know I've had conversations. I had my son when I was 35. And, you know, what I envisioned in the schools and different things that he would be doing is not what our first experience was. Once I took a certain position job, I could no longer let him go to the top school that he wanted to go to, right? We had to make a shift because I looked at my work schedule. I looked at the school schedule and I was just like, it's just me and I can't make it work right now. However, we're going to find another good alternative for you. And when the time is right, then we will move. And that happened to be his educational career. Thank God he was still blessed with a very strong elementary career. Mm-hmm. But it was not our first choice, you know. And now he's able to, because we had what did I have to do? Make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And I had to wait because God didn't send me. He's always sent help, just like he always sends you help, right? But for that moment, it didn't come at that time for that purpose, right? An extra person to help pick him up. I have that now, but that was 6 years after, right? No. Yeah. 6 years after. So thank you so much for that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to ask you this. Do you think truancy leads to crime? So then people like when they, you think it ends up being those are the ones that commit the most crime when they're not in school.
So I believe that truancy can lead to crime because if your baby's home all day doing nothing, you're at work because we're parents. We have to work, right? or if they got in trouble at school and now they're home or they're home by themselves. Mm-hmm. anything. They got these cell phones now. They got this social media now. They got all these, which I think that it should be the law for our babies that you can't get social media till you're 18. That's just my opinion. Sometimes 16, because we want to make sure that we can call and check on our babies when we need to. I think it could lead to crime, the simple fact of going into, like, kids being depressed, starting to do substance abuse, doing things they're not supposed to do, stealing when they don't have money for things. Mm. So it can lead into crime. Just depends on what the situation is.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. And she led us into what next week's topic is going to be about, drugs, y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what I know to be true.
Yes.
I'm telling you what I know to be true based on the position that I sit in and based on the conversations and meetings and tables that I'm sitting at. Drugs are starting to hit our schools in ways they never have before. And it does open the door for a lot of other things. And so thank you for that, Miss Lee. We want to get them in school. We want to get them in school. We want to keep them in school so that they're getting the right things. They're getting this field, right? And not turning to other things. They're getting supports from the Miss Lees of the world, from the teachers, the doctorship. Like, they're getting the support they need so they don't turn to that, to this stuff that could possibly lead to crime or something even worse. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
So I'm about to wrap us up, because you said a lot, and this was some good tea. I hope you guys caught all this tonight. What advice would you give to someone, a young 25-year-old, who's like, hey, I want to be a social worker? Well, what advice would you give? Let me be specific. They want to be a social worker in a school. What advice would you give them? Because it's a difference.
Social worker in a school, you would have to really have a third way to deal with our babies. You gotta be transparent. You have to be caring. You have to be loving. You have to be nourishing, because parents bring our babies to school to know that, oh yeah, I'm the parent, but they're gonna bump into auntie, not necessarily your auntie, but someone that they could trust or build those relationships with. And you want to make sure, now far as like getting into becoming a social worker, it's all about focus and sacrifices. I went to become a social worker at 54. I'm 56 now. Right?
Come on.
54 years old. I had to cut off like everything that was negative in my life. I had to focus. I went to work from 7 to 5, sometimes to 3:30, Monday through Friday. School, 6 to 9, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 8 to 4, and virtual on Sunday, but always had to be open from 2 to 6. I did that for 2 straight years, and I am very proud of myself I didn't let anything, even though I went through trials and tribulations, even though I went through stress, life be life in, but I focused. I still was one of the top of my class. And I did it at 54 years old. So if you're younger, I wish I could have did it when I was younger, because social work makes my heart smile that I can help people in the world, not fix them. Support them, give them coping skills, give them things that they need, the necessities that they need to be, for them to be happy, for them to smile. If you want to become a social worker, get all your baggage away from you, throw it out.
Come on.
Anything that upsets you, throw it away. Focus. Especially if you have to work. Now, if you have to work, you got to multitask. You got to see what's important, prioritize what's important and what's not. If it's not, you throw it away. Focus. And you can do it, just like I did at 54 years old.
You better come on here. Y'all better put them hand claps in the chat, because that's real. That's why I love her so much. And she's right, y'all. With anything you want to do, there are sacrifices that come with it. And I've said earlier, times like, people don't want to sacrifice nothing, right? But you have to. And one of those biggest things that she said was, deal with you and your mess before you start trying to deal with and take on other people's stuff, because especially when they're babies and they're just dumping and dumping and dumping, and then now you don't know what to do because you got your own mess. Let your mess go so that you can help them. And something else she said is not try to fix them. She's not trying to fix them. Guess what, though? As a principal, I am. Because I am looking from the lens of trying to prepare them for the world. And so things that I see, it's like, I have to fix it. We have to fix it, right? But in her role as a social worker, it's like, no, I'm there. I'm supporting. Advocating. I'm advocating for them, right? And so some really big tips came out of this conversation today. Thank you again, Miss Lee, being with me. I love you dearly. I really do appreciate you and the work you do. And let me tell you something, y'all. This is real. What you see is what you get. and that's what people need to. They need their authentic you. They don't need this all packaged up, whatever you want it to be type stuff. They need the authentic you, because it's the authentic you that will attract the people you're supposed to or your purpose to work with. When you show up trying to be anything else, honey, it does not work. I am the principal that code switches, honey. Whatever you bring is what you're going to get back up out of me, right? And so, but it always works, right? It works. And so, again, thank you so much, Miss Lee, for joining me. It was awesome chatting with you, as always. And so, this has been another note from the principal's desk. Stay tuned next Friday, 5:30 p.m., and I'll be back with another topic. Peace.
Thank you.